You know how professional skiers will stand at the top of a mountain, eyes closed, just physically leaning into turns they aren't even skiing yet.
Oh yeah, they're like running the entire course in their minds before their boots ever even touch the snow.
Exactly. And that mental rehearsal is, well, it's exactly what we're doing today with the wall method. We're looking at why you can't walk through walls in your dreams.
Right, because you put them there.
Yeah, you put them there. So we're running this framework in your mind today, day four, before you actually have to use it in the real world tomorrow.
Which is crucial from a neuroscience perspective. I mean, before you apply any framework to a real stubborn problem, you have to map the circuitry internally first.
So by reviewing the wall formula today, and just as a quick refresher, that's what is the wall, accept it is your wall, look for the way through, and leverage action. We're basically prepping the brain.
Exactly. You're doing it without the pressure of an immediate crisis. And by doing that, you're actually priming your brain's executive function. You're deliberately firing those problem-solving pathways, but, without cortisol flooding your system.
Right, because when cortisol spikes, you can't think clearly at all.
Exactly. So this cognitive rehearsal creates the exact mental scaffolding you're going to need when things actually go wrong.
I love that word, scaffolding. Because if you don't build that scaffolding now, you just revert to your old default programming the second you get stressed.
Oh, 100%.
In psychology, I mean, we see this all the time with cognitive behavioral prep. You can't just intellectually nod your head and agree a wall exists. You have to actively probe it to find your specific, like, behavioral weak points before the fire alarm actually goes off.
Because if you don't know your weak point, you'll just default to your most heavily worn neural groove, which is why day four's exercise asks you to break down your strongest and weakest points in the formula.
Okay, well, let's test that right now. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, boy. All right, let's do it.
Looking at the four steps of the wall method, where is your natural neural groove? Like, where do you get stuck?
Well, my strongest point is absolutely the W, what is the wall? My analytical brain just loves defining problems, breaking them down, and categorizing every little detail.
Right, the classic scientist approach.
Exactly. But my weakest, that's definitely the final L leverage action. I mean, I can see the wall, I can map a brilliant tunnel under it, but
Yeah.
taking that first physical step, I just get completely trapped in analysis paralysis.
Wait, really? Your weak point is taking action.
Yeah, unfortunately. What about you? Let's flip it. What are yours?
Oh man, I am the exact opposite. I will skip right past the analysis and just start swinging a sledgehammer at the problem. So my strongest point is definitely leverage action.
But you're swinging blindly sometimes.
Totally blindly,
Got
because my weakest point is the A. Accept it as your wall. Subconsciously, I naturally blame external
Oh,
factors.
that's interesting. So it's not your fault the wall is there.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's so much easier for me to say, you know, the system put the wall there, rather than admit I'm choosing to stand in front of it.
That contrast is incredibly revealing, though. Think about question three from the exercise. If you jump into action without true ownership, you're just running in the wrong direction with a lot of enthusiasm.
A lot of enthusiasm and zero results.
Exactly. You're swinging the sledgehammer at a load-bearing pillar instead of the actual barrier.
Which means I'm exhausting myself without making any real progress. So, in actual practice, knowing this contrast means I have to force a mental pause. I have to physically make myself stop and accept responsibility before I'm allowed to move.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, what about you? What does that look like for you in actual practice to break out of that analysis paralysis?
Well, for me, actual practice means forcing what I call a minimum viable step.
Ooh, I like that. Minimum viable step.
Yeah, since my brain wants to stay safe in the planning phase, I have to break that neural loop of hesitation by doing something, like anything, immediately, even if it's a tiny imperfect action.
This is exactly why you have your specific mental toolkit, right? For the listener, this means your three code rewrites, three distill points, and two quotes.
Yes,
You
exciting.
need to review that stack three times today. Those repetitions act as your armor. They reinforce the new default pathways so you don't swing blindly like me or, you know, get stuck overthinking like you.
Right. And please don't forget your bedtime question tonight. By seeding a specific question right before sleep, you're essentially giving your brain's default mode network a puzzle to chew on.
Well, your conscious defenses are down, yeah.
Exactly. It lets your subconscious do all the heavy lifting for you overnight.
So get those daily reps in today, because tomorrow, day five, we take this freshly sharpened psychological tool and finally apply it to a real stubborn wall in your own life. It's going to be
But
intense.
you'll be ready.
You absolutely will be. Any final thoughts to leave them with before we go?
Just this. If your brain is plastic enough to literally build the walls that hold you back, isn't it also perfectly wired to dismantle them?